struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, the Apostle Paul loved to make contrast between polar opposites. There was light and darkness. There was life and death, strength and weakness, the ordinary and the extraordinary. He also loved to paint word pictures to demonstrate his points, and he spoke with eloquence, and he envisioned that we're like an ordinary clay jar, an ordinary clay jar that contains an extraordinary treasure. He says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." 2 Corinthians 4:7. Paul wrote in order to counter criticism in the Corinthian church. They complained that he was very bold and assertive in his writings, but quite timid in person. They grumbled that he wasn't a strong public speaker. Here's what they said about him. His letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he's unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. They claimed he took a back seat to the so-called super apostles. The super apostles wowed the people with knowledge and persuasive speech. The Corinthians really preferred the bright and the flashy to the mundane and the ordinary. Paul was well aware that they were merely judging by appearance. They just couldn't stop themselves from criticizing Paul to the left and also the right. As a result, the church proved to be ungrateful to the person, the apostle, Paul, who had planted the church in the first place. Overall, his apostolic authority was called into question, for God was the one who called Paul on the road to Damascus, who shined his light from the sky and knocked Paul right off of his feet so that he would serve Jesus Christ. God was the one who called Paul on a holy mission to plant churches all over the Roman Empire. Yet for the Corinthian church, Paul was not enough. He was just too ordinary for them. Frankly, we're not that interested in the ordinary. We prefer to get swept up by the spectacular. We're much more likely to be enamored by the externals than the internals. We have this tendency to become obsessed by the outside, but not the inside. We get mesmerized by all the bells and whistles, all the hoopla, as it were. Like the Corinthian church, we do sometimes judge by external appearances. Now, I had this classmate in seminary that was really good at Greek. In fact, he was so good at Greek in the New Testament that one day he was a teacher's assistant. He subbed for the actual professor, and he did a better job explaining the material than the actual professor did. He was that good. But he was also young and handsome and quite tall. And I was always a little bit jealous of his height because I thought to be a preacher, it would be a great advantage to be tall, so you could preach down to the congregation as if the word of God was coming straight from the heavens. Sometimes we get swept up in the externals. Does the same thing happen to you? You forget what the preacher said, but you can remember their appearance, maybe what she or he was wearing. She looked elegant in her formal clothes. He looked great in his suit and tie. Or it might not be how they look, but how they sounded. A few years ago, I was preaching at a church back in Iowa, and it was during the pandemic, so one of my bike riding friends listened to the sermon online, you know, on YouTube or something like that. And so afterwards she said, "That was a really good sermon, Rick. You're a good preacher." And I made the mistake to ask her, "What did you like about it?" And she said, "It was your voice. You have a really easy voice." And it wasn't exactly what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear something like, "Oh, it was so theological. It was so biblical. It led me to a deeper knowledge with God, and oh, my prayer life was enhanced by hearing you speak." But no, I had an easy voice. I pictured people relaxing comfortably in the pews while my easy voice lulled them gently to sleep. Another time I remember preaching about John the Baptist. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And I told this illustration early in the sermon about God building a road. And I talked about a road that was being built in that area, a new highway. And afterwards, due to this illustration, a congregant came up to me and all he could talk about was road construction and bulldozers and cranes. And he forgot all about repentance and the road to faith. He missed the forest for the trees. He listened to all the words, but he didn't hear the word. The Apostle Paul highlighted the word of God, that is, so that people could be transformed by the Spirit of God. God dramatically changed Paul. Earlier, I talked about that on the Damascus Road, how this light flashed and the voice from heaven spoke, and God knocked Paul right to his knees. Why couldn't that happen with other people too? God dramatically changed Paul. Couldn't God dramatically change others in the Corinthian church? This was a powerful motivation for Paul. So he preached the gospel. He announced the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection. He proclaimed that Christ has come to save us. But it was never about him. It was always only about Jesus, about the Lord Jesus, about our Savior Jesus. The Savior was his one and only focus. Paul explained that what we preach is not ourselves. It's not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. It's actually stronger than servants. The original Greek doulos indicates slave. So Paul was saying to the Corinthian church, "We are your servants. We are your slaves even. We belong to you." It's like we're property. When he said "we," Paul meant himself and Timothy, his co-worker. And neither one placed the spotlight on their own personal appearance or their fancy word choices, their rhetoric. Humbly, they stepped out of the way so that Jesus Christ could be front and center, so that Jesus could be center stage. On center stage, the spotlight shines brightly on Paul's Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's how the text describes it. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Isn't that a mouthful? The light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Can you imagine the face of Christ, how radiant that is, shining brightly like the sun? That's the light that blinded Paul on the road to Damascus. He wanted the same for his listeners, to have their hearts transformed by God's glory, God's glorious light in Jesus Christ. So where does Paul see himself fitting into the picture? Well, humbly he says, "I'm just an earthen vessel. I'm just a clay jar. I'm just a jar of clay, a container made out of very common, ordinary materials." It's ordinary, but it's still quite useful as a pitcher that can hold liquid. This would be a great verse for you to memorize. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-encompassing power comes from God and not from us." He knows the source of the all-surpassing power. It's from God, not from us. And what is the treasure he's talking about? The treasure is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's contained inside of Paul's simple, ordinary clay jar. Paul Barnett knows the value of a clay jar. It's not expensive by any means, but it does hold some value as a container. Barnett explains, striking is the contrast between the radiant treasure of the knowledge of God within the heart and the inexpensive and easily breakable receptacle that bears it, an earthen pot. Such vessels are both cheap and fragile, thus having no enduring value in their own right. Only their contents give them worth. Did you hear that? Only their contents give them worth. Paul is a container for the light of the gospel of Christ. And he's ready to burst forth and preach the good news of the gospel to anyone who's willing to listen. He knew the worth of the contents. Inside of Paul was this extraordinary treasure, an extraordinary treasure waiting to burst forth. Now, when I think about treasure, I think about pirates and maps and the X that marks the spot. And when you find that treasure, you don't sit there and value the box. You value what's inside of the treasure chest. The gold and diamonds, the sparkling jewels, and the wonderful jewelry within. You're looking at what's inside the box, not the box itself. It's a treasure chest on a treasure island. That's what I think of when I think of treasures. The value is not with the chest in and of itself. It's what's on the inside that counts. So it is with Paul. He strived to communicate that he was merely an ordinary man with an extraordinary Savior. He preached. He preached so that he would not highlight his words, but God's singular word. Overall, it was less about the messenger and more about the message. That's where he was trying to correct the church. They had all these people coming and going, preaching them their gospel. But Paul said it's not the messengers that count. It's not the preachers that count. It's God's word that counts, a singular God's word. It's the message. The heart of the message is from God. Paul's jar of clay perspective enabled him to rightly place the focus on God and God's power to change hearts and God's power to change your life. Paul's purpose was to demonstrate that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That enabled him to share a prayer with the psalmist. Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness." Paul was purposeful in his argument, indicating that only God, by his Holy Spirit, has the capability to transform a reckless rebel into a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. That describes conversion accurately, from darkness into light, and from what was once dead to what has been made alive by the Holy Spirit of God. It's certainly an extraordinary message from an ordinary messenger. And there are still ordinary messengers walking the face of the earth today. There are still ordinary messengers that serve the church. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I have three uncles that are ministers: Uncle Jim, Uncle Henry, and Uncle Case. And two of them are still alive. Jim and Henry are still around, but Case passed away tragically in 2014. And when Uncle Case passed away, the president of Calvin Seminary wrote an article about him called "An Ordinary Pastor." When I first saw that article, when I first read that article, I kind of pushed back against it because my uncle was no ordinary man. He was quite a person, quite an uncle, and quite a preacher. But over the years, I've made peace with the article, in peace with my memories of my Uncle Case. While others in his seminary class became religion professors and wrote books and things like that, Uncle Case served three churches, one in Illinois, one in California, and one in Michigan. Hear these sentences of the article by the president of the seminary, the ordinary pastor. Case was a person of humility. He saw himself as an ordinary pastor. At the same time, I do know that God uses ordinary people for his extraordinary purposes. Please join me in giving thanks for ordinary pastors and ordinary people of faith. Isn't that a fitting conclusion to the article? My favorite line is this: I know God uses ordinary people for his extraordinary purposes. Have you found that to be true? I know that I've heard that from women of God. I know that I've seen that in men of God. And I'm going to say something kind of risky here. I'm going to tell you, people of God, to stop listening to me and start listening to God. Let me explain. Stop listening to me and all my words, but start listening to God and his voice. Do you hear the difference? You need to distinguish between the human messenger and the divine message. It's the difference between my spoken words, which are many, and God's word, which is singular. Are you able to accomplish that? To separate it all out and sort out what really holds lasting value? Left to your own devices? Probably not. But with the Holy Spirit as a guide? Certainly. Enabled by the Holy Spirit, may you sift the sands of my sermons to discover the gold nugget of the gospel. May you hear the voice of God speaking to you, calling you by name. Remember, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm merely a clay jar, but an extraordinary treasure lies within, waiting to burst forth. So it is with you. On the outside, you may appear to be ordinary men and ordinary women, but on the inside, there's an extraordinary treasure. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is true that we have this treasure in jars of clay. It's an extraordinary treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is really from God and not from us. So go from this place boldly. Don't be afraid to show them that God has given you new life. Don't be afraid to tell them your testimony in your life and in your speech. Communicate courageously that the life of Jesus is truly a treasure contained within you, wherever you may go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people say, let's pray.